We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you need to know what's happening, it's time to get in the huddle with Carl Dukes, Brian Baldinger, and Jason LaConfora.
Back for another edition of In the Huddle. Yes, we are live on social media, so we appreciate you guys checking us out. Carl Dukes, put him up, along with Jason LaConfora, Brian Baldinger. We do this podcast, and as you know, and if you don't know, it's In the Huddle, guys. We talk all things NFL. We are counting down to the start of NFL training camps, and the band is back together. I had some things going on. Jason had some things going on. Baldy's been busy. But this is what we do each and every week. We put a couple out every week, guys, throughout the course of the season, leading out up through training camp. So we invite you to follow us, subscribe, In the Huddle. You can watch us live at In the Huddle Pod on YouTube and check out all the info that we're giving you in regards to the National Football League. First and foremost, fellas, we're going to talk about the NFC North today. I think it's going to be a competitive division. Obviously, the Lions are going to be the favorite to win it. We'll get into all of this with the Packers, the Vikings, and, of course, the Bears with what they did this offseason. But first and foremost, how you doing, man? Baldy, what, you've been crazy, man, going all around the camps and checking things out. And, Jason, you've been busy. What's been going on, fellas?
We're going to get to it. But I was just recently in Las Vegas this weekend, invited out to the SAC Summit that Von Miller, Max Crosby, Cam Jordan put on. So I'll get into some of that. But it was really actions. For any football fan, forget about what level you are. You would have had a good time. Just listening, learning, watching information being transferred, listening to guys that, you know, really excelled at the game, talked about the game. So that was really good for me. I'll go to the offensive line one, the mastermind clinic that Lane Johnson, Duke Mannyweather put together in Dallas next week. So it's kind of this think tank type of thing. You know, the tight ends did it the week before in Nashville. I really think it's growing. I think other position groups will get to it eventually, defensive backs for sure. But I think it's kind of cool watching guys from around the league come together, young guys, older guys, come together and share their knowledge of the game.
I agree. Jason, you've been good?
I haven't done anything, bro. I leave for the beach in a couple days, but I just – I'm here with the kids, my wife, the dogs. I'm a homebody. So yeah. Baldy travels for you. When you travel, Baldy, you take me with you. Because I haven't done it. I haven't done an airport in a long time, and I got no intentions of doing one. You can get me on a train.
Jason, let me tell you something, Jason. That's the biggest challenge out there right now. Is your flight taking off? What's the delay?
No thanks.
It's wild right now.
No doubt. I took a couple of trips, and you're just in the airport praying that everything is going to go on time and everything will happen. Guys, let's talk about the NFC North. And we've been running down each and every division, guys, in the offseason. Once we got past, obviously, free agency, the draft, and teams kind of set their rosters through minicamp and mandatory minicamp, now we're looking ahead to camp. Camp starts, guys, for most teams in about 2.5 weeks. July 24th, report day for a lot of teams. Things get underway, and then we're starting the season, obviously, in September. Baldy, let's talk about the Lions. And Jason, because I want to start there in the NFC North. Dan Campbell, this is the team that was on the cusp of getting to the Super Bowl. First and foremost, how much do you guys think they improved in the offseason? And what did they need to improve? Because they were right there. And a lot of people say, hey, it wasn't the team or the personnel. It was Dan Campbell and his coaching mistakes that maybe blew the game for them to go to the Super Bowl. How good are the Lions going to be, fellas?
Well, a couple things, Carl. One is this is going to be a fantastic division. Like, you know, we'll get to the other teams. But, I mean, Detroit, I was just doing some things on Penei Sewell the other day. Just watching. I mean, this guy, I think he's 23 years old. You know, he's first team all pro. Like, he runs like a deer. Like, he's got unusual power. Like, he's just one of these freaks playing offensive tackle in this league right now. But when you watch him and you watch some of the plays, you see Jahmyr Gibbs. Mm-hmm. And you go, this guy had a good rookie season. This guy is the classic home run hitter from anywhere on the field. And so then you start, like, looking at the talent that they have, Amon-Ra St. Brown, you know, and what Jameson Williams could be, healthy and not suspended and there for the whole year and off season. Then you just go through the talent level on the team. And then you add the corners that they drafted. And you go, and maybe they got the best corner in the draft out of Alabama. I don't know. But that was, you know, if you look at that team, they're up 24-7 in the third quarter on the 49ers. And it's looking bleak in the NFC Championship game. And maybe to your point, Carl, maybe it's the fourth down calls by Dan Campbell, being too aggressive, take the field goal, whatever. But it allowed 49ers to get back in the game. And they said, we can't let a team, anybody, you know, run up the score and throw like they did on us. We've got to get better in the secondary. And so I think they're going to get better. This is a very, very good football team. They've been building this thing. I played in Dallas where we couldn't win a Super Bowl. Landry used to talk about it all the time. The Ice Bowl game, we'd lose these championship games. And then we finally broke through. And sometimes you got to have the pain. You got to have the bad taste in your mouth. I think that Detroit does from an NFC Championship game to say, okay, this is exactly the focus we need to hit this season running and put it all together and go to a Super Bowl, because they have everything it takes to do it.
Jason, they keep their coordinators. Both guys interviewed for jobs. But how important is that? Because Ben Johnson could have been a head coach, guys. We know this. He decides to go back. Aaron Glenn. So you talk about continuity and culture. How important is that for the Lions going into this season and having those guys back?
Yeah, I think it's a big deal. I mean, it's a young team that took a lot of steps last year, but maybe from the coach on down, who's still young, came up a little naive in the second half against San Francisco, right? Just couldn't stay within themselves, couldn't possess the ball the way they had been, couldn't make some of the right decisions, couldn't execute just enough. You know, probably, you know, we all saw the fourth down, right, drop. I mean, there's – you can pinpoint, you know, on probably five plays, right, that were the difference in their season reaching the Super Bowl and not. So, I think growing together, continuing to have that continuity, not picking up where you left off and not having to learn a new offense or figure out this guy's tendencies or, you know, what does this guy like to do? What does that guy like to do? It's going to be an interesting division. I think this could be the best divisional race in football between the Packers and the Lions. And I think both these teams, if you told me they went to a Super Bowl or won a Super Bowl, I wouldn't flinch. Look, would I have liked it if the Lions added another pass rusher? Like, you know, if they added a Jadeveon Clowney to help, you know, set the edge, fortify them up front and provide some pass rush, you know, had they acquired Brian Burns, you know, there's a couple of things they could have done that I thought maybe could have put them over the top a little more, right? You could throw the ball on them a fair amount last year. And then when the chips were down, the 49ers ran their way out of that deficit, you guys just mentioned, which I think had to be pretty troubling for the Lions. So I think the questions are defensively. And, you know, when they face the best teams, when they face the best quarterbacks, what does that look like?
Yeah, I know they picked up Marcus Davenport. I'm not necessarily a huge Davenport guy simply because I thought he'd be more productive being the Saints' first pick and what they gave up for him. But there's a connection there with Aaron Glenn, who was in New Orleans, and, you know, maybe Davenport steps in there, but I'm doubtful because he's been more hurt than anything. Before we move on, guys, let me ask you about the deals that the Lions did. They paid Amon Ross St. Brown. They also paid Jared Goff. I think Jared Goff, on average, is the third highest now annual salary guy in the league. I thought the Goff thing was a no-brainer. Do you think they jumped the gun on Brown, or do you guys feel like, look, this guy's legit. He's one of the top receivers. They had to do it.
Oh, he's one of the top receivers. I mean, he's, you know, he knows exactly how many guys were drafted in front of him coming out of USC. Yeah. He dangles that carrot every day. He stayed hungry. He's a great player. And the offense runs through him and Laporta right now in the passing game. And I think it, you know, to a team that's trying to do it the right way for the first time and probably forever, you know, you reward the players that you draft. Reward your players. And let everybody in your organization know that, look, you do it the right way and you excel and you play beyond your rookie contract, we're going to look after you. We're going to take care of it. Panay Sewell, you know, I mean, that's I think, the franchise they want to be. They want to be the 49ers. They want to be the Eagles. They want to be one of these teams that just are doing things the right way. And I don't think they jumped the gun on it. I think they did what was necessary. These are two key ingredients to their passing game and to their whole team. And so they're going to be Lions. They're not leaving the Lions' nest the way so many players and good players have in the past, going to get paid someplace else. So I think they made a statement when they signed those guys.
Yeah, I agree with Baldy completely. We're all old enough to remember 2 years ago when this starts to look like an ascending team. And they trade one of their best players, right? They trade an all-pro caliber tight end to a division rival. And they didn't really want to pay him, right? And that's and you don't have to pay everybody. But when you make that move and then you have the kind of drafts that they've had the last 2 years since that, and they've replaced him with Laporta, right, who's younger and cheaper, then the guys in the locker room want to see, well, all right, well, where is, you know, what's the next step? It's great to draft and develop, right? But it's got to be draft, develop, and then, you know, share the wealth. You know, where's my dough? And the price of admission into the market for quarterbacks and wide receivers is only going to continue soaring. So, no, I think it was necessary moves. And I think that's how you prove that the ways of the past are behind you, right? Like, hey, we're going to move this guy, but it's the last time we're doing this. And we're no longer treading water. We're going to secure our core when we identify the guys who are a part of this long term. And so now they're putting their money where their mouth is.
It's In the Huddle, guys. Carl Dukes, along with Jason Luck on four, Brian Baldinger. We do this each and every week, and we invite you to subscribe wherever you get your podcast, In the Huddle. By the way, over-under 10.5 for the Lions. I'm taking the over. I'm just saying, I'm taking the over. Fellas, let's talk about the Packers, and here's what stands out for me. At the end of the season last year, Jordan Love, they go 5-2. And during that stretch, fellas, he threw 18 touchdowns and one interception. And all of a sudden, you saw what they did against the Cowboys. And then people say, all right, this is a team that's on the come. Baldy, they're young. He's got a great young wide receiving core. I know all those guys were injured and, you know, it was a mix and match, but he made it work. The Packers are coming, guys. And Matt LaFleur, I think his offense, adding Josh Jacobs, is going to be a big key, Baldy.
Well, I mean, look, Aaron Jones has been a great player there. So, I mean, if Josh Jacobs becomes Aaron Jones, that's fine. They got depth at running back. They re-signed A.J. Dillon. They drafted a good back. I mean, they want to run the ball. They're a tight end-based offense. They want to run it. They have found offensive lineman Zach Tom, who was, what, a fourth-round pick at Wake Forest. They found these guys without spending high first-round picks, although they drafted one in the first round this year at Arizona. So, look, Matt LaFleur is a great coach. I mean, and Jordan Love has arrived. Now, everybody will say, well, he's got to go do it again. He knows that. But you get the feeling that his immediate ability to have connections with Jaden Reed and, you know, Dontarius, Dontravius, I'm just Wicks. I'm just one blanket right here. Sorry. But I mean, his ability to find these guys and, you know, have immediate connection with them in big games was amazing, because that never happened with Brett and Aaron. They didn't build immediate connections with their receivers. It took time. And so I just give Jordan Love an unbelievable amount of credit. He was under the gun. He was in the spotlight. And he didn't say two words when he was just sitting there. And he got a chance to play. And by golly, he was impressive. And let's face it, we need impressive young quarterbacks in this league for us to have podcasts to talk about it. We need those guys to go out and play the way Jordan Love did, especially in the second half of that season. And, you know, they made the change defensively. Those changes are never easy to unload Coach Barry and bring a guy from college who's coached in the NFL and to say, okay, defensively, we got to shut teams down. When we have an opportunity to shut teams down, we've got 7 first-round picks on defense. We got to shut teams down to win. And so I think they've made some necessary changes in Green Bay, but they are a player, not just in the NFC North, but in the NFC right now.
Jason, when you talk about Love, I know we've gone back and forth on Love at the beginning of last season, where it was, you know, sketchy. Is he going to be that guy? And then by the end of the season, I think we were both convinced, and I know Baldy's been there as well, but let's talk about the growth in LaFleur and this relationship, because everybody talks about the coach and quarterback relationship. Obviously, they're clicking.
They're the best team in the NFC for me. You know, doing a lot of research in gambling markets, there's a lot of value, I think, to be had on individual Green Bay Packers players and the team as a whole. For them to be the youngest team in the league and to gel the way they did last year was phenomenal. They have one of the best offensive coaches in the league, some of the best offensive minds in the league. They have now done it with multiple quarterbacks, one at the end, one at the very beginning. They should have played at least one more week than they did last year. The football gods conspired against them, but that's okay. Sometimes that's what a young team needs to keep them motivated and keep them hungry. I can't say enough good things about them. I mean, Jordan Love, the first month of the season was rocky and rough, and the kid still ends up throwing 32 touchdown passes. Like week 11 to week 17, take week 18 out of it, right? It didn't matter for a lot of teams. Week 11 to week 17, I mean, I think it's like 16 touchdown passes for Jordan Love and like one turnover. No, it's special. And the fact – there's a lot of things I love about it. Like they developed on the fly, and it wasn't like they had to run the offense through anybody. It wasn't like, well, Aaron Jones has – if Aaron Jones gets 28 touches or more, they went – no. Like it wasn't that. It wasn't like there's one go-to receiver. Like guys were hurt in and out. I mean, if Christian Watson never stays together, does he lead the league in touchdown catches? Like what he's done, small sample size. Like I think he possibly could. I like the move at defensive coordinator, you know, going and grabbing a guy out of BC. Like it's a little ballsy, but as Baldy said, he's got an NFL profile. I think they needed to make some tweaks defensively. And they've got to be a better special. Like their special teams units have to be better. Like the margins are slim, and we saw that in the playoffs. So they've got to grow up in that department a little bit. But there's not a lot of holes. Like there really isn't for me. And I think the quarterback is otherworldly. I'm incredibly bullish on them, man. Like barring just decimating injuries, this for me is the team to beat in the NFC, even above the 49ers. And if they won a Super Bowl this year, I wouldn't flinch.
Baldy, let me ask you about their O-line. We're talking about the Packers, guys. As we preview the NFC North, it's in the huddle. How good is this O-line? Has it improved? I know Zach Tom and Jenkins and these guys, they did a little shuffling, or maybe they will. They drafted, I think, Dillard, the offensive tackle. How good is this offensive line?
They're good. They're good. I mean, Rasheed Walker played left tackle last year. He was a 7th-round pick. And, you know, you wouldn't know it. I mean, it's like when they had, you know, they have their offense coordinator is just a great offensive line coach. And they get, you know, they had John Runyon there for 3 years. And, You know, he was a middle-round pick out of Michigan and basically played every down for him or started every game for him, you know, during his time. They find, draft, and develop players. And, you know, Zach Tom became a, you know, frontline player at right tackle for him. So I give him a lot of credit the way that they're able to draft and develop and then build a cohesive group. Because like Jason just said, they don't rely on just any one thing. They protect well enough. They run block well enough. The quarterback protection is key. The tight ends are involved. The backs are involved. Play action is a big part of what they do. It's a good group. It's a solid group right now.
Guys, let's move on to the Vikings. By the way, over-under for the Packers. And, Jason, you mentioned this, 9.5. I mean, you're telling me there'll be two teams in that division? Yeah, I agree. I'm going over. Let's talk about the Vikings and Kevin O'Connell. They lose, obviously, Kirk Cousins to the Falcons, but they draft J.J. McCarthy. I don't know at what point he starts, guys, but, Baldy, I want to start with you. Give me your preview of the Vikings and what they've done this offseason. Obviously, Justin Jefferson gets his bag. Everybody expected that to happen, but, you know, you still need a guy to throw you the football. Who is that guy?
Well, I don't know yet. I don't know if it's going to be Sam or if it's going to be J.J. I trust Kevin McCarthy, though. I trust his – he comes out of a system, you know, where, you know, it's the lot on the quarterback plate, and they could have taken a lot of different players. They could have moved up. They took Sam for, you know, a one-year deal, and he probably learned a great deal in San Francisco. When you get stability in a good offensive system, like, you have a chance to be successful. We'll see. Like, they won games without – you know, Kirk Cousins last year. And so, and just throwing guys in there. I mean, you put Jordan Addison and, you know, you put Justin Jefferson and you put TJ in there, Hockenson at tight end, and you put Aaron Jones. They're going to have plenty of players that can make plays. The offensive line is very solid. You know, I thought that last year defensively, they really played well. And it was a credit to the system, the coaching, the linebackers, the secondary, Cam Bynum, you know, jumped out. It was impressive to watch them defensively last year. It kind of fell apart at the end of the season a little bit, but this is a good football team. I don't know if they're great yet because we are waiting on the quarterback and just how they play, but they're going to be very competitive right away.
Jason, what do you think about the defensive side? Because they picked Dallas Turner. We talked about the edge rushers in this draft, but they were trying to improve that area, obviously. What do you think about the defense on the Vikings?
That's my biggest question. Do they have closers? Do they have enough bite defensively? Do they have fourth quarter defensive playmakers who can get them off the field with a sack, with a strip sack? You know, are they enough of a bully up front? I'm with Baldy. I believe in Kevin O'Connell. I think Kevin O'Connell will have a first-rate offense. He's got plenty of pieces there. The way they were able to hang in the fight last year, you know, toggling from quarterback to quarterback to quarterback was pretty impressive. And I'm sure they learned a lot through that and kind of figuring out, okay, this Dobbs thing has kind of run its course. Let's go to this next thing and see what that looks like. And, I mean, you saw, you know, Nick Mullins, like the guy's going to throw a lot of picks. Like, that's just who he is. That's a problem. But you also saw the offense do some interesting things with him. So I think that's credit to the scheme and the play callers and the guys who put it all together. But I do have questions about them defensively, and I think that's probably where they'll hit the wall, especially because this division now, which we've thought of for so long, it's always kind of been the throwback division, right? I mean, they're rare. I can't remember a time, Baldy, off the top of my head, where you're talking about, especially if the Vikings found a quarterback in the draft, and if Caleb Williams is anything close to what the Bears hope they're getting, I just feel like the caliber of quarterbacks in this division could be up to a level we haven't seen in a long time. And the Vikings defense 3 or 4 years ago was probably built in a way that I think they could handle it. I don't know about this unit right now.
Well,
I don't know if they have enough playmakers.
Well, they picked up Jonathan Greener from Houston, who had a great year last year. They drafted Dallas Turner. They got Andrew Van Ginkel out of Miami, who's a solid pass rusher. You look at these guys, you know, Josh Metellus and some of these guys that Brian Flores moves around. He gives quarterbacks problems. Brian's a hell of a coach.
Yeah.
And that scheme and what he does, it really, I mean, you're going to get pressure. Now, what happens when you get pressure? And, you know, the corner's got to be able to hold up. And, you know, they've got some young corners that did that last year. I believe in Brian Flores. What he did in Miami was real. I think he learned under Tomlin in Pittsburgh for a year, and then he took it to Minnesota, and he's got his stamp on it right now. I'm a little bit more bullish defensively maybe than you are, Josh, Jason, but I really like – because he's so different than everybody else. He's aggressive. He gives you a lot of, you know, window dressing. He gives you a lot of candy before the snap, and you're not really sure what they're going to do. And I've talked to a lot of guys that play in that system. They love playing in the system because anybody can be a playmaker on any given play. And so quarterbacks tend to struggle a little bit, you know, when they're in a dogfight against a Flores defense.
13th best scoring defense last year. I think that probably improves based on what Baldy's talking about with the Vikings. We're taking a look at the NFC North, guys. Let's talk about the Bears because everybody is excited about the Bears. Caleb Williams. But, fellas, I think the most pressure on any of these coaches is on Matt Eberflus. I think he's got to get it done. Jason, listen, they've done all this revamping, right? And they went and spent money, and then, everybody feels like they used the right picks, you know, the picks on the right guys. Eberflus, though, I think right now that's where I'm starting with the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he's been coaching for his life for a couple of years now, but this is different because – he's a defensive guy, and so before, you know, hey, well, we're making gains on our side of the ball, but we don't have any players or enough players on the other side or whatever. Like, that's out the window now. That the level of expectation is obviously ramped up when you take a quarterback first overall and a quarterback who, you know, it's not like we weren't talking about this quarterback years before as the eventual 1-1. So it's not like a forced situation. It's a kid who we think is worthy of it. So now you've got to build the right team around him and the right culture around him. I do think this team probably needs to walk a little bit or jog before it sprints. I think there's some people out there who feel like they're just going to kind of jump over the bumps in the road, the kind of things that even Jordan Love was dealing with, you know, last year. And he had been in the system for years as a backup, but it's different when it's all put on your shoulders. So they're a much more interesting football team than they've been in a long time. They're a much more talented football team than they've been in a long time. But my concern for them is the division itself. Again, like, this is not the NFC North of 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I think it's probably the deepest it's been in a long time. And everybody in the division might have a quarterback. So, to me, they're clearly going to be better. They're clearly going to, I think, be more interesting offensively. But if they were the worst team in this division, I would that be a shock? No. You know, and I'm not saying that they're a bad team or a horrible team. Like, but if they're still fourth in this division, I wouldn't stun me.
Baldy, you know, they went out and picked up Montez Sweat at the trade deadline, which I thought was a good move, right? They won they won five of the games over the last 8 weeks of the season. So they were trending in the right direction. And then you look at the improvements from a personnel standpoint, you got to believe, hey, they're going to – take a little bit of a jump. But I'm with Jason about the walking before you run thing, especially in this division. But we know in the NFL, hell, things can take off. Where are the Bears in your mind?
I mean, look, they finished really strong. And the day that Matt Eberflus took over the defense from Alan Williams, they got better. And they got better. And then they got a lot better when they got Montez Sweat. You know, and so they just tightened things up. And they know who they are defensively right now. I'm kind of curious to see just what the pass rush looks like this year. It looks like that might be the one little bit of a weakness, but the secondary is excellent. The linebackers are good. They play well together. You said at the very outset that maybe Matt Eberflus has more pressure on than any coach in this division, and he's right. You're right. Because let's face it, if Caleb struggles and the Bears don't win, excuse me, eight games or more, I mean, they'll go make the phone call to Ben Johnson in Detroit, say, let's get an offensive guy in here, and let's give Caleb all the help we can get with innovation, creativity, pre-snap, whatever. Like, that's just the way of the world in the NFL right now. We just saw it happen in Carolina. Your quarterback struggles, doesn't play well. Well, we'll just get an offensive guy in here to go fix it. So that's just the mentality. I think the Bears are going to be – like, this division is just going to be so much fun because we saw the Bears on, you know, in a number of big games last year play really well, you know, especially against Detroit. Should have beat them the first time, beat them the second time. You know, they defend the Lions pretty good. Their zone concepts. You're not going to get behind them. I'm excited. I don't know what their win total is, to be honest with you. I don't know what all this means. I know that they picked up some good players. You know, DeAndre Swift is a good player, and Gerald Everett's a good receiver. And, you know, they picked up some good players. But this is about how quickly can the quarterback play at a high level, and how consistent can he play at a high level if he gets there? Because if he does, and it might be who knows what the learning curve is going to be, but if he plays at a high level, then this is going to be a good football team, and they're going to be right there in the division.
Fellas, I mean, you look at the wide receiving core, and I don't know, you know, we haven't ranked these groups yet, but DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Rome Odunze, and we think he's going to be a stud. That's a hell of a way to step into being a quarterback in the National Football League for Caleb Williams. You add DeAndre Swift. He was a 1,000-yard guy last year. He signs a 3-year deal. The weapons, to your point, Baldy, they're not asking Caleb to carry them, right? He doesn't have to throw 6 touchdowns to be in a game like he did at USC. Just be smart. Don't turn it over, and let's get the ball to these guys. So that, to me, is what's why I'm bullish on the Bears to say, hey, if he's smart and plays the right way, he doesn't have to, you know, throw for 400 yards and keep his team in the game as he did in college.
Well, that's, you know, that's learning the game, Carl. That's learning the game. If the defense is keeping the score down, and, you know, the opposition, Green Bay, Detroit, whatever, have 17 points and you're in a fourth quarter dogfight, like, don't do anything to give them a short field. Don't do anything to give the ball back. Take care of the football. He had a lot of fumbles at USC. So, you know, take care of the football. But you still, you know, you can't just be a caretaker. And that's not who Caleb is. I mean,
no, you're right.
An aggressive guy, and he's gonna push the ball down the field. He's gonna look for big plays, which is fine as long as you're not hurting your football team. You know, and that's, you know, the way we saw in Atlanta last year, and the way we saw in other places where the quarterback is really hurting you. And so I want him to be aggressive. I want him to, you know, to be Caleb, because I think that's who he is. At the same time, you're right. Like, he doesn't have to do it all himself. I mean, you put the ball in Keenan Allen's hands or DJ Moore's hands, and I think Rome Odunze is going to be a phenomenal player. I mean, those guys could do a lot after the catch. And so that's what I expect.
As we preview the NFC North, guys, we'll continue to preview the divisions here on In the Huddle. Carl Dukes, along with Jason Lockhart-Fora and Brian Baldinger. And subscribe and like us. Tell your friends, guys. We will do this, obviously, throughout the course of the season, and we've been doing it. We have so much fun as the season gets underway and into training camp and whatnot here in a few weeks. I just want to, as we get ready to finish up, Baldy, talk about the Pass Rush Summit. This is where the best pass rushers in the National Football League, for those of you who are not familiar, get together. It's an annual thing now. They do it in Las Vegas. This started a few years back, probably 3, 4, 5 years ago, and it's grown. And I think it's one of the coolest things, and you talk about the offensive linemen doing this as well in different groups, but you had a chance to be out there. Talk to us about it, because we all are interested in these edge rushers and how guys get to the quarterback.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jason's in Baltimore. They hired Chuck Smith last year, who had, ran a pass rush academy in Atlanta for years. And, oh, by the way, the Ravens led the league in sacks.
Yep.
He coaches every defensive player, not just the defensive line. He coaches Roquan and Marlon and Kyle. He coaches every player on rushing the quarterback. There's a skill to it. There's an art to it. And Von Miller started this 7 years ago. And, look, I mean, Von makes no secret about this. He wants to be a general manager in this league. And so he's, you know, part of what he's doing is cultivating a pass rush, getting people to talk about it. And it's kind of interesting because one of the things – you know, Vaughn says, as I, you know, I asked him, like, why do you give away your secrets, Vaughn? Like, you're Like he goes, he doesn't really care about that. He thinks that you try and stop what I'm doing. That's I don't care what if you know what my pass rush moves are, how I try and protect my body from the monsters I got to go against. And that's kind of like the attitude of Max Crosby, who was there. I'll tell you one thing that was really interesting. We had 60 guys there from around the league. You know, there was Brian Burns was there and Matt Judon. You know, I mean, there's some really acclaimed pass rushers in this business. I mean, Brian Burns just got one of the fattest contracts we've ever seen a defensive player get in this league. And there he is in his downtime, in his vacation time, out there talking about pass rush and learning. But we had what I did was we had on the field, you know, in 110-degree heat out there at UNLV. We're on the field for probably 4 hours, and Warren Sapp is running around. He's coaching these guys, and we're doing different drills. And then we took a break, and then we went inside. And I put together film clips of every player. And at one point, I got Kalijah Kamsey, the second-year player out of Tampa, rookie first-round pick, and he really finished the season strong last year. So he does this move in a playoff game, actually against Detroit, to get a sack. And there's Cam Jordan in his 14th year, Carl. And he's going, wait a second, Kalijah, you did the jump on your second step. Most guys do it on their third step. You do it on your second step. He goes, yeah, I'd like to get into it quicker. And Cam's like, I got to try that. I got to try that on the second step. I think that's the way to go in that move. And so the point is, these guys are transferring ideas. We're all watching each other's pass rush. We're all sitting there and opening it up and talking about it. And, I mean, I learned a lot myself. But the players were learning a lot of stuff that they're going to take to training camp this summer. And I just think it's great. And I think that, you know, Von Miller started this. You know, the tight ends did it the week before. Lane Johnson, Duke Mannyweather will do it next week in Dallas. And it kind of just shows you, I think, from a fan perspective, I think a lot of fans think these players, you know, they're all rich and all the, you know, they're on their yachts right now. These guys, they're on their free time going to Las Vegas at 110 degrees. Now it's Vegas. Okay. But like they're out there working their craft. And they could easily be just shutting it down right now, taking it easy. But this was important to them. And it's important. We had 16 rookies that were there. Laiatu Latu was there. Darius Robinson was there. Braden Fisk was there. I mean, you know, there's 16 rookies that were there. And they're literally in the meeting room sitting there taking notes and asking questions. And, you know, breakout sessions that we're having. I think it's really one of the cool things when you see like the elderly and the established in this business passing their knowledge down. And hopefully one day, maybe it's Kalijah Kamsey or maybe it's Darius Robinson, and they're passing the torch that Von started. And I think this thing is only kind of going to grow and grow and grow as the years go by.
So Baldy, you're kind of taking us behind the curtain there with some of the individual things and right and expanding my toolkit and having a different array of moves and counters. But like you just said it, you're going to be talking to the offensive linemen as well. How much of this is dishing on some of those guys? And it's not just, hey, here's the moves, but here's how I set up Trent Williams or, you know, hey, I love going against your right tackle, and here's why. Because some of that, right, some of that you maybe don't want to share because I do still have to face that team. Like, how individualized is it? Because I love the game within the game, that mano-a-mano sort of thing that goes on.
Yeah, but listen to this, Jason. So, like, Von Miller is saying, look, if you're playing against Lane Johnson or Trent Williams right now in this business, they're moving their back foot before the ball snapped. So if you're waiting for the ball to be snapped before you move, you're never going to get there. I mean, that's Lane Johnson's thing. Like you want to win the 100-meter dash. Well, you got to get off to a fast start. And so these guys are timing the snap, and they're beating the snap in some ways, and there's just a little glitch there in the way the rules are written, whatever. So Von's saying, like, if I look at the ball, you know, the way we were always taught, maybe I'm too late, you know, on some of these elite guys I'm going against. Everybody, honestly, Jason, is just looking for an edge. Like, you know, because it used to be until Joe Thomas kind of like really changed things. I mean, Joe Thomas was not a two-hand puncher. He put his left hand out there on the shoulder pad of the defensive pass rusher, and he would like kind of lock it inside in his right hand. Well, now these guys are all coming out here. And some guys don't even put their hands up to knock down. And so now how you handle a guy that doesn't put his hands up and he's just waiting. And so the techniques are changing with the offensive line and what's being taught. The defensive line has to adjust. That's why the ghost move that TJ and Vaughn and Max has now is really beneficial to get underneath these guys and to kind of dip. It's evolving. The whole chess match that you talk about is really evolving. And I'm kind of like learning it firsthand and how it's being taught and what the counters are. And really, if you just want to rely on speed to power right now, that might not be enough in this league. Might not be enough to be an elite player. You better have counters to counters. And that's why Max Crosby is just so good right now, is that Max's philosophy is you can never be right. That's his mentality. No matter what you do to me, you're never right. I have a counter to whatever thing you're doing. And so it's really going deep right now. And the way that they're thinking about the game and the way that they have to, because Max on camp, all they're seeing is chips, slides, double teams. It's not just one guy. You know, they can beat the one guy, but they're seeing a mass of players come at him. Micah Parsons is seeing 2 and 3 players come at him on any given play. And so, you know, the elite guys, to stay elite, they got to figure this out right now. And that's why they're at these things, at this offensive line masterminds and at these Von Miller sack summits, you know, to try and get that little edge that might help them maintain their elite stature.
Yeah, Baldy, all these great pass rushers, and we'll end on this because it's you're just killing it with the game within the game and how these guys are thinking. I mean, and by the way, this happens like that.
Yeah, exactly.
In real time, we take for granted. This is not slow motion. This is happening right now. And so when you put that into the play and the time to get to your spot, get to the quarterback. But the thing that I will say this, and Chuck Smith had this school long before he took the job down here in Atlanta, where all these guys would come in. All these great pass rushers have a signature move. And if you don't, your guy is not going to be special. No. He can do a lot of different things. But think about it. Dwight Freeney's going to Hall of Fame, spin move, right? I mean, the great Reggie White, hell, Baldy, you know, bull rush. He was just hitch, you know. So all these guys have something, and it's great to see that they're sharing all this wealth of knowledge. Guys,
real quick. I'll just finish with this. Because Vaughn is adamant about this. He flew his entire defensive line out there. AJ Epinesa, you know, like
the Bills,
you know, all his rookies are out there. So one thing that Greg Rousseau was out there, like all those guys were there. But one thing that he always preaches is understanding that there's going to be a point in the game where you got a chance to take the game over the way Aaron Donald has, the way Von Miller has in 2 different Super Bowls. Like there's going to be a way Reggie White did. There's going to be, no matter how, whatever numbers you put up, can you close out a game? Can you be the closer to finish the game? 3rd down, 4th down, got to get off the field.
Chris Jones.
Win the game.
Chris Jones last year.
Understanding the moment in games where you have a chance to do it. So don't worry about nothing's happened for 2 quarters. You set your guy up. Now it's time to go win. Now you know what this guy is doing. You got a feel for it. Now here we are, 4th quarter. Let's get off the field. Let's go home a winner. Like that's the things that Vaughn is really trying to impart to a lot of these kids.
It's great, man. Can't wait to hear what the offensive linemen have to talk about, which we will get to. Jason Lock on 4. Follow him, guys. Read him in the Washington Post as well. Baldy, Brian Baldinger. You see him all the time, NFL Network. Carl Dukes is glad. We are glad to have you guys here. Subscribe, like us, watch us on YouTube. We'll be back. We'll continue to count down to training camp and preview these divisions. And then once we get to camp, guys, we're going to be bringing you all the storylines, all the latest info. So make sure you check us out in the huddle. Fellas, we will talk to you soon. Enjoy your 4th of July weekend.
See you, everybody.
Take care, everybody.
2400 Sports is an Odyssey company.
You don't just live in your home. you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.